Road of Truth, program number 604. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Christ, South 5th and Highland in Abilene, Texas, assisted by sister congregations and interested individuals, now brings you A Herald of Truth.
Behind my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Behind my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Ridicule is a potent weapon. Mockery has succeeded in destroying a man's will to resist when threats and abuse left him unmoved. However, more often than not, the one who would use this weapon is in greater danger than his fancied enemy. Ridicule, boomerang-like, is capable of turning on the one who hurls it. The result can be exceedingly harmful. Where holy things are concerned, ridicule can be devastating. Thus we find the Bible to be full of warnings against those who would make light of those things pertaining to God and His Word. George W. Bailey has selected this outstanding theme for his message today. In a world that is dominated in many places by the cynical and the scornful, it is of utmost importance that serious attention be given to Mr. Bailey's great message entitled, But They Made Light of It.
To us a child, a hope is born. To us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey. Him all the hosts of heaven. Him shall the tribes of earth obey. Him all the
And now, here is Mr. Bailey speaking on the subject, But They Made Light of It.
Thank you. As a text, I have chosen the first six verses of Matthew 22. Will you listen reverently as I read it? And Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remainder took his servants and treated them spitefully, and slew them. I call your attention to the fifth verse of this reading, But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. This parable, my friends, depicts the poor sense of value some had, and how unfavorably they reacted to the more important things of life. A great wedding feast had been planned by the royal family. Invitations had been sent out. What an honor to have been invited to such an occasion. Suppose you had been invited. What would have been your reaction? Would you have gone? Or would you have found some excuse for not going? Would you have thought something else was more important at the moment? Beloved, you and I have been invited to a much greater feast than that, the marriage feast of the Lamb. How will we react? Will we accept it or reject it? Many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:14. Why? Simply because too many people fail to evaluate things properly. They haven't weighed things carefully enough. They act without thinking. They're too interested in everything but the soul. Their thoughts are centered on the world and not on heaven. Oh, how we make light of the things which are so weighty. There are those who make light of God. Many make light of his existence, and this is tragic. There is too much evidence not to believe in God. It is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. Psalms 14:1. Some would rather not think of God. Hence Paul said, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Romans 1:28. Some have made light of the honor and respect God deserves. Paul said that some knew God, but glorified him not as God. Romans 1:21. Men so often lightly esteem God's name, speak of it disrespectfully, and tend to drag it in the dust. God's name is holy and reverend. Psalms 111:9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Psalms 8:1. Hallowed be thy name. Matthew 6:9. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Exodus 20:7. Some have made light of the word God has spoken. Peter one time said to God, not so, Lord. Acts 10:13-14. How many have been the times when men have disagreed with something that God has said? Now some wouldn't be so bold to express it as did Peter, but in their hearts they're saying, not so, Lord. We make light of God's word when we either deny what he said or defy the one who said it. We make light of that word when we question any part of it or show any doubt regarding it or seek to alter or change any phase of it. In essence, some are saying, depart from us, for we desire not a knowledge of thy ways. Job 21:14. We often get to thinking that we know what is best for us, and hence we're prone to question any biblical teaching which doesn't coincide with our thinking. Some make light of the promises God has given. Sarah once laughed at a promise God had made, Genesis 18:12. And Abraham laughed at a promise God had made to him, Genesis 17:17. Some in Jesus' day laughed him to scorn, Matthew 9:24. Men through all ages have laughed at some of the promises God has given. We need that faith and profound respect that Paul had when he said, I believe God that it will be even as it was told me, Acts 27:25. Or we need to adopt the spirit that Sarah had after she had changed her thinking. In Hebrews 11:11 it was said, she judged God faithful who had promised. Let us never make light of any promise that God has made. Some have made light of the arrangements God has made. In Job 1:22 we're told that in all of Job's trials, he did not charge God foolishly. To have done so would have been to make light of God. When we try to change any of God's arrangements, in essence we are charging God foolishly, thus making light of those arrangements. Jeroboam once said to the people of Israel, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem to worship. 1 Kings 12:28. Now it was God who had told the people to go up to Jerusalem to worship. But Jeroboam made light of that arrangement and sought to change it. He thought he could win the favor of the people by telling them that God had asked too much of them. But has God ever asked too much of anybody? Doesn't God know what he is doing? Doesn't he know best? Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Romans 11:34. God doesn't need anyone to help him make arrangements for man's salvation. And men dare not make light of God's arrangements. But men often do make light of those arrangements like Jeroboam. Aren't some saying today, in essence, it is too much to ask people to be immersed? And aren't some saying today, in essence, it is too much to get people to be members of the one church? And aren't people today saying, in essence, it is too much to get people to follow all that the Bible has said? Oh, how we make light of the arrangements God has made for us. There are many who make light of Christ. Some have made light of Christ's virgin birth. And some have ridiculed Isaiah's prophecy concerning that virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. And some have rejected the New Testament fulfillment of that prophecy, Matthew 1:21-25. The Bible clearly declares that Jesus was born of a virgin. Had Jesus not been born of a virgin, he would not be the Messiah. Had he not been born of a virgin, he would not have been the only begotten Son of God, as so declared in John 3:16. Some have made light of the claims Jesus made. Some have refused to believe the claim he made regarding his eternal existence. He claimed to be in the beginning with the Father, John 1:1. This explains the claim that he made in John 8:58. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus has always been. In Philippians 2:6-8, we're told that Christ existed in the form of God, but later took upon himself the form of a servant, and was found in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. How could man make light of these great claims of the Son of God? Some have made light of Jesus' miracles. These miracles cannot be explained away by natural phenomena. These were the mighty works of God wrought through Christ. To disbelieve them is to disbelieve Christ, who claimed to be the Son of God with power. And some have made light of the blood of Jesus, denying any efficacy in that blood. As suggested in Hebrews 10:28 and 29, some have actually trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and they have done despite under the Spirit of grace. To the contrary, it is in that blood that we are redeemed and forgiven, Ephesians 1:7. And with that blood, the church was purchased, Acts 20:28. With that blood, we are sanctified. We dare not make light of it. Then there are those who make light of the soul. There are those who believe that man is nothing more than a physical being. They do not believe man has a soul. If this is true, the Bible is false, for it makes its appeal to the souls of men. Every man has within him a living soul, a soul that was made in the image of God. And that soul is the most important thing about a man. One doesn't have to disbelieve in the soul to make light of it, for men have made light of it by lightly esteeming its value. How much is a soul worth? How much is your soul worth? How much is the soul of your child worth? How much is the soul of a neighbor worth? Many of us would say that the soul is priceless. That is, if we're just talking. But out in life, what do we show by the way we act what a soul is really worth? Those who spend their time making provision for the body and neglect the soul are in essence making light of the soul. We have our valuables insured, and we even insure our lives. But how much thought do we give to the welfare of the soul? We place our treasures under lock and key, and we guard them with our lives. But how much thought is given to the human soul? If a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what doth it profit him? Mark 8:36. Peter tells us that fleshly lusts war against the soul, 1 Peter 2:11. And those who fall for such lusts make light of their souls. Many joke about chastity and purity and holiness, and in a frivolous way jest about these sacred things. Such people are making light of the soul. There are those who today call it old fogey or straight-laced for people to be completely devoted and dedicated to the Lord, or for them to refuse to submit to the things about them that would in some way harm or endanger their souls. Solomon said, "Fools make a mock at sin," Proverbs 14 and 9. How foolish can men get? Beloved, don't ever tease anybody for his high ideals, his great morals, his true convictions. Don't make fun of those who refuse to go with the crowds, for the crowds are most usually wrong. Don't ever make light of the value of the human soul. There are those who make light of eternity. The thought of heaven and hell never enter the minds of some, except in their use of profanity. There are those who don't even believe in heaven or hell. Then there are those who believe in the one, but don't believe in the other. If a man die, shall he live again? Job 14:14. This question, my friends, was asked by Job, and for centuries went unanswered. But later Jesus gave the answer in these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11:25. Again, he had this to say about what comes after death, "For the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:28-29. As surely as we live, we will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. We dare not make light of this existence after death. Then there are those who make light of the Lord's church. The church of our Lord is the most glorious institution known to man. It was built by Christ himself, Matthew 16:18. It was purchased by the Lord's own blood, Acts 20:28. The Bible says Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25-27. Who would dare belittle it? Who would dare say that man could be saved outside of the church? The Bible clearly says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Acts 2:47. To make light of the church is to make light of Jesus' position, for he is the head of the church. Colossians 1:18. To make light of it is to make light of that institution through which the manifold wisdom of God is to be made known to the world. Ephesians 3:8-11. Listen to the reading of Ephesians 1:22-23. "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The Lord's plan is incomplete without the church. For this passage says the church fulfills a certain place in that plan. This church or body is said to be in Christ. Romans 12:4-5. To make light of the church is to make light of being in Christ. Jesus did not build a denomination, nor was he referring to some denomination when he spoke of the church. Denominationalism was unheard of in the New Testament times, for no denomination came into existence until centuries later. We dare not make light of the Lord's church by trying to substitute a denomination in its place. Such a substitution won't do. There is only one body, 1 Corinthians 12:20, and man dare not put another on equality with it. The name or designation of this church, the pattern of worship for this church, the doctrine, the organization, and so forth, are all clearly set forth in the New Testament. Men are making light of that arrangement when they seek to change it or set it aside. Beloved, our plea to men and women today is for a restoration to New Testament Christianity. Let's do away with denominational doctrines, creeds, and names, and go back to the Bible. Let's call Bible things by Bible names and seek to do Bible things in Bible ways. Let us have no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible, no church but the Lord's church. And let's teach what is taught in the New Testament with reference to how to become a Christian. May we slight not one single principle. When the Bible speaks of the importance of being in Christ, may we declare this importance. To believe in Christ is to believe in his deity, that he is truly the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, and without doubt is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. May we so preach that men will believe that he is the Christ. May we urge men and women everywhere to repent of sins and confess with their mouth the same confession we have recorded in the New Testament, namely, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," Acts 8:37. Instead of making light of it, may we but emphasize what the Bible says about baptism. The Bible says it saves us, 1 Peter 3:21. May we not make light of it by saying that it doesn't save. The Bible says it is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And may we not make light of it by trying to explain away this passage. The Bible says it is a burial and a resurrection, Romans 6:3-4. May we not make light of it by substituting sprinkling or pouring instead.
Believe of me, O blessed thought, O words with them.
Do you find it difficult to set aside a time for Bible reading and study? The answer to this problem may be found in a Bible correspondence course, which is now being offered free of charge. Why not write today and begin adding to your store of Bible knowledge at once? And if you would like a copy of today's great sermon, here's all you do. Write a card or letter and ask for program number 604. Be sure to specify program 604. Your cards and letters have been most encouraging. And remember, if you have a Bible-related question whose answer has been evading you, jot it down and send it in at once. As always, E.R. Harper, noted Bible scholar and long a featured speaker on this program, will give your question his personal attention. Please address all correspondence to Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas. That's Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas. This has been A Herald of Truth, presented under the direction of Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas, and supported by Churches of Christ and interested individuals from around the world. This is Robert Holton, inviting you to listen next week when George W. Bailey will speak on the subject, What About Instrumental Music in Worship?